Let's get right into our weekly confession here. Let's get back to understanding what the Word of God is. Let's declare this together. This Word is God speaking to me. This Word is God's life being imparted to me. This Word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This Word is God's authority being delegated to me. This Word is God's blessing overtaking me. This Word is God's ability empowering me. This Word is God's counsel guiding me. This Word is God's power of salvation to me. This Word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This Word is God speaking to me. That word salvation, let's put that, keep that up there, Stephen. Salvation is an all-inclusive, it's one of the all-inclusive words of the Bible. And it means salvation, eternal life, but it also means healing. It means deliverance. It means prosperity. It means preservation. And these things, and this is what the devil does. He comes at you one way, cancer. And all your focus goes on what the doctor said, and it goes off the word. This word is God's power of salvation. Power of healing, power of deliverance from that, power. Get your eyes back on the Word. We're talking about that today. I want to clarify, before we start that though, I want to clarify something. Lori brought this up to my attention this week, and she said, you know, when you say storms come for a season and they always come for a reason, people think that God sends these storms to you. You know, and the devil has this habit. He's a master at coming in and messing everything up and then blaming God for it.
Right.
And then pointing to God's doormat. And you think that God has done all this to you. He hadn't done anything to you. He does everything for you.
Amen.
Praise God. Storms come for a season. They are temporary. And they always come for a reason. You know, when that storm hit that ship that the disciples and Jesus were in, that was a mega blast. That was not normal on the Sea of Galilee. It says it was a great storm of wind. That word great is the word mega, and it means, if it's connected to the word that's taught about the greater one who lives in you. This thing was so great, it was a hurricane blast of wind, and it was designed to sink that ship. And I've heard preachers say, well, God sends storms sometimes into your life to teach you things. You know, wait a second. Really? That's not what the Bible teaches. God's a good God. He's a wonderful Father. And if you never want to hurt your kids and you being evil know how to give good things to your kids, God's even better than that. He doesn't send storms. He doesn't send confusion. He doesn't send problems your way. All right? That stuff is authored by the devil. You know, they contend that, well, they were in God's will. How can the devil get in there when they're doing God's will? Well, I mean, that sounds good, doesn't it? But if you're going to go by that, then you've got to understand that the Apostle Paul was probably never in God's will. He got stoned, beat, whittened, he got killed. God raised him from the dead, though. See, he was always... There was the old expression, whenever Paul went into a city, he checked out the prison to see where he's going to be staying. Because wherever he went, there was either going to be a revival or there was going to be a riot. But,
Sometimes both.
Sometimes both, yeah. Sometimes both. Well, you know what? Wherever there's a revival, there's going to be a riot. Because the devil gets mad at that stuff. See, the Bible is a spiritual book, and we got to remember, where was Jesus on his way to in that boat? He was on his way to the region of Gadara. Anybody remember what happened in Gadara? There was a demon-possessed man there, and that demon's name, he was a ruler, and his name was Legion. And he was using that man's body to host all kinds of demons, whatever he wanted. And we've got to realize that that's not the only problem they had. Why were there pigs? Why was there a great herd of swine there? No other Jew needed pigs. Jesus himself was pretty kosher, I'm telling you. So he had no use for the pigs. And the demon, when he came out of the demon came to him and the guy bowed down. He says, "Oh, Jesus, you son of God, the Most High, don't throw us into the pit before the time." You know, trying to get Jesus to do something out of order. You know, total deception. All he speaks is lies, deceptions, misdirection, wrong narratives based on lies. Jesus said, "Who are you?" He said, "Legion, for we are many." Get out! And they all went into that herd of swine, ran over the cliff and down into the water and drowned. With one word, or one's get out. See, you got to understand, this was a little sin city, Gadara. They were serving baby back ribs, ham steaks, bacon, pork tenderloin, and they also had, I believe this, you know, this man, the demoniac, you see these horror movies, and you can't associate this with that because demons manifest when they want to. Otherwise, the guy, you could be talking to a guy who's totally normal. Maybe this guy was their local entertainment too, because this area was being infiltrated by people. They were being attracted there. Things were starting up there. So what happens is, here they are, maybe this, because it says he was breaking chains, he was taking fetters and breaking them in pieces, that's supernatural strength. So maybe he was a sideshow that they all came to see and then enjoy their pulled pork sandwiches, so forth. You got to read this into there because there was a lot going on there just by the suggestion of what was. But Jesus had an appointment with that demon ruler. And that demon ruler was through. And when he was through, the hogs were through, everything. He wiped out all of their business deals. He wiped out the main attraction why they were there and went back in the boat and went away. And the only guy, and they came out and begged him, "Please leave. Please leave before you destroy anything else we're doing. Please leave." And the only guy that wanted to stay with him was that demoniac. That man who was possessed, he said, "Let me go with you." He said, "No, just tell everybody." So now Gadara had a new name. Instead of Sin City, it had a name for the very base of the guy who was delivered, who went around publishing the good things that Jesus did, telling everybody he could find about it. Storms do not come from God. They are, first of all, the weather systems that we have are just an evidence that this world has been out of whack ever since the fall. And the devil, who is the prince of the power of the air, threw that storm at him. And he had every right to do it because he's the God of this world. He said to Jesus, "All these things belong to me. All the kingdoms and lands, they belong to me." And Jesus never challenged that, did he? Even though the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, we are in a period of a lease. Man's lease, the lease of man is 6,000 years on this earth. And if a landlord came in, if you had a lease and a landlord came in just doing what he want, you could arrest him for trespassing. Did you know that? God will not do that. He is a just God. And he has placed the authority on the church to work his power. He doesn't go around the body of Christ. He won't do that. He won't dishonor the blood of his son or the head of the church or anything. He always goes through the church. We got to start opening up our mouth because some people don't know what God does or what the devil does. They have no idea. Is this God or the devil? Well, if it's violence, destruction, fear, or anything, look, the Muslims, they talk a big talk. But look, have you ever been in the presence of the devil? Twice in my life, I've been in the presence of the devil. And you know what it is? Total fear. It's almost like a panic. Yeah. Their God, Allah, is Satan. Right. Yeah. Did you hear that? Yes. Allah is not God Almighty. He is Satan. All you have is fear, because that's all the devil is fear. That is the manifest presence of the devil, is fear. We have the name of Jesus, and he is, all authority has been given to him in heaven and earth. And all power has been transferred to the church. He said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. We stand for Jesus, and he stands with us. We speak of Jesus. He speaks to the Father for us. We glorify Jesus, and he glorifies the church. We've got to know who the devil is and what he does and what God is, who God is and what he does. Big difference. Big difference. Don't be afraid of these Islams. Just break the power of Satan over them. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that? See, you may be down, but as long as you can move your mouth, you can calm storms. You can move mountains. You can pluck up trees by the root. As long as you have a mouth that works, you can release the spirit of faith. We have believed, therefore we have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. That is, we have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I have believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. When you speak, the storm stops. When you speak, the tree withers up. When you speak, the mountain moves. When you speak, the devil trembles. He doesn't care if you read the word, if you cry over the word, if you love the word, if you talk about the word. But when you start speaking the word, he gets all out of sorts. That makes him nervous. Well, he needs to stay nervous. Today, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. Boy, I think we've had church already. This is ice cream on top of it. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. What we've got to do is declare the end of this Muslim thing, the end of this corruption in Minnesota and many other states. They're finding it in Maine, they're finding it in New York, they're finding it in California, Oregon, they're finding it everywhere. All this corruption is, no wonder the devil is so mad. And he's blaming Trump for it. Oh, he's a dictator. No, he's cleaning up the corruption that has been brought into this country by the Biden administration, who brought those borders down and let all the terrorists in. There are terrorist cells in this country. Lots of them, too. And they're just ready for the orders. Pray that we find them and root them out and annihilate them. All right. You know what? They listen to Trump. Even the imam or the mullahs in Iran listened to him. They had 800 men ready to execute, ready to hang him. And Trump picked up the phone and said, if you do that, you are not going to last a day. You're not going to be in this thing long. You don't even know it's going to hit you. And you know what? They didn't execute him. Wow. All those plans and their holy Sharia law was changed by Trump picking up that phone. He is a man of peace, not war. He settles arguments. He doesn't create them. He reveals and uproots the corruption that's coming in. We need to know something. We need to know that the government was placed here for a reason. A government of the people, by the people, and for the people was placed here as a stewardship for us. And any pastor who tells you not to get involved with politics or... Well, don't get involved in politics, but get involved in government. It's a gift from God who authored that constitution. And we have a stewardship for that. And if we let it go, then the devil's kids would be glad to run it. They did for the last 4 years. And then before Trump, they ruled it for 8 years before that with Obama. You know, Obama's father was a Muslim. He got a lot of that from, and that's why he had Muslims visit the White House all the time. Anyhow, we've got better fish to fry here. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. So it's not that, and this is, he's talking about the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, and God said, and God said, and God said. He declared, and in those 6 days of human of creation are revealed his plan for 6,000 years of human history. It's embedded in there. You can find it. The Holy Spirit will show you what it is. At the end of 6 years, you notice it's a little different. Because every day God said, he saw what he made, and it was good. He saw what he made, and at the end of 6 day, behold, it's very good. Now, world peace is starting to take root. And things are going to be very good. Amen. We're there. We are there. Are you telling me the hour? No. I wouldn't tell you the hour when Jesus is going to come for the church. Because even if I told you the hour, what time zone are you in? It is so futile to do that. But Jesus said, when the fig tree puts forth its leaves, you know the season. We can know the season we're in without knowing the hour. And you know what? There's a reason for that. Just be ready. JBR. Just be ready. Just be ready. Just be ready. So he says this. This is not just a one time where he declares it and it'll just take care of itself and he can back off. No, he watches over his word to perform it. Amen. He watches over it continually. See this? Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying. He keeps saying the same thing that he said. He said it through Enoch. Enoch wrote down these things. It's not accepted as canon or anything, but he gave us history of what was going on with the fallen angels and the demons and the monsters that were there. All of that was accurate history, and those books were handed down to Noah, who preserved them in the ark. And when God was trying to save, not trying, God was saving the human race because he had to. Do you know why? Because in the garden he said, his plan of redemption. He announced it to Satan. He said, he is going to, when seed of the woman, he is going to bruise your head. That's kind of a light interpretation of that. Basically, he said, he's going to kick your head in and he's going to bruise his foot doing it. But you're going to be exposed and you're going to be ruined. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he came. Amen. Destroyed the works of the devil. That's exactly what he did. Praise God. And he hasn't stopped doing. So what happens is he takes and whatever period of time we're in, which is the sixth day, he's still speaking the word. He spoke it through Enoch. He spoke it through Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He's always had his word filling. He's always had his man in the earth, filling the earth with the word of God. Then he had Abraham, a covenant man, so that God could now have a place where he could pivot on that covenant that Abraham gave him permission to do. He said, I'll do nothing except I reveal it to my servant Abraham. Then the prophets came and he kept speaking his word through the prophets and through the prophets, releasing his intentions, releasing his power, releasing. And their mouth, speaking his word, gave him license to do the things that he wanted to do legally. Praise God. Let's go to Proverbs 4. Remember, I said at the outset of this series that we're going to be interlinking Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10 with Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 23. So Proverbs, my son. Sometimes, you know, you need to acknowledge this. Say, Father, I'm so glad to be your son. I'm so glad to be your father. You know, you might want to pray this prayer too. I've been praying this way because we can be forgetful as people. And the Holy Spirit will say something. You say, yeah, and you totally forget it. And then you get home and say, what was it? And you can't remember it. Pray this way. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence in my life. Thank you for you're imparting the gifts that you do. Thank you for speaking to me. And I ask you, please remind me of the things that you've spoken to me. Things that I've dropped. Things that I've missed. That I have not remembered. Please remind me of those. And pray that every day. And it's amazing how through the day I'll be walking Buddy and all of a sudden that thumping thought just comes along again. That sudden impulse, that thing, and they'll just be popping up through the day. It reminded me of conversations I had with somebody and where I was reminded of something, where the Holy Spirit was showing me something. Just that He's there all the time. He's always speaking to you. He's always real. He's right there. He is right there. He is in your next moment before you get there.
That's right.
And He is close to you. You're one spirit with Him. Mm. So, where are we? My son, attend to my words. Boy, that's good. Incline your ear to my sayings. Remember, we talked about incline means to stretch out your ear. Stretch it out. Stretch out your ability to hear God. Stretch it out beyond where your mind has been in the past. It helps you get rid of all the preconceived notions when you come to God. So you don't have to come to God and receive from God based on what you did or didn't do. No, come to God and receive based on what He's already done for you. Boy, that should have been a thunderous amen right there. Come to Him and receive from Him based on what He's already done for you. It doesn't matter what you haven't done. Oh, Lord, I haven't sinned in 2 weeks, man. You need to do this. No, He doesn't. But if you say, Lord, Your blood was shed for me. I'm adopted. I am one spirit with You. I thank You, Father, for the provisions of the New Testament. Jesus is the mediator of the benefits of the New Testament, and I receive. You've left you out of it, and it's all Him. That's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense, not yours. Where are we? Let them not, then it says, let them not depart from your eyes. Now, the emphasis there is not on your eyes, it's you. Let them not depart from your eyes. You know, Jesus said at the Last Supper, He said, don't let your heart be troubled. If your heart is troubled, it's because you let it. If the word is slipping out of your consciousness and out of your focus, it's because you let it. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they, His words and His sayings, are life to those who find them, and health, medicine to all their flesh. Health and medicine. Does that sound like a God who's going to throw a storm your way? Mm-mm. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart. You keep it. Now, this word keep, it is not only a defensive word of guarding your heart, but it's also a word, an offensive word, of taking the initiative to keep your heart like a shepherd keeps his sheep and feeds it, brings it to green pastures and still waters, and feeds your heart the right things. Let me get into this for a second in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. He says this, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. I used to read that and say, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? The light of the body is the eye, therefore if thine eye be single. What do you mean single? The whole body is full of light. First of all, the light, that word light is not the kind of light He's talking about, the creative. It refers to a lamp. Lamps, in those days, language reflects the times. And in those days, they had lamps with oil in them. And the oil fueled the lamp. And the connector of that is your eyes. If your eye is on the world, guess what? You are fueling the light that is in you with darkness. Did you catch that? Lamps feed on fuel, and the eye is what directs that fuel into it. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, that word single is kind of cool. It means to be folded together. And it's rooted in another word that means twine or braiding. So it's one thing. So if your eye be on one thing, if it is folded together with God's word, your whole body shall be full of light. Why? Look, you can't look one way and believe another way. Can you? You can't speak one thing over here, that what the world says, and then really understand what God's saying to you. You can't be in the moment with God at all. You can't give your ear to doubt, fear, unbelief, lying, anger. You can't give your ear, your inner ear to that, and then be full of faith. Can you? You need to decide. Verse 23, but if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. You can't be divided by two masters. Either you're going to follow the world or you're going to follow God. You're going to follow righteousness or you're going to follow iniquity. It's very, very clear. You say, but I'm weak. Well, let the weak say I'm strong.
Amen.
We all have weaknesses because you all have a flesh. The Apostle Paul had a flesh. Don't be ashamed if you're having feelings of things like that. That's what the devil uses. And he gets you into sin. And I'll tell you what, the sin isn't really the bad thing. It's the aftermath of that sin that is really the issue, because that gives the devil license to ram you with condemnation, with guilt, with confusion, wondering if you're even saved. That it's the aftermath of the sin. That's why he wants to get you in the sin. God can forgive you the sin. If any man sin, you know, let him come unto God. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation. He's already paid for it in full. That's what propitiation means, paid in full. He is and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He died so that Adolf Hitler would have a chance to be saved. He died, and there's not too much, I mean, what he did was evil, it was satanic. He used to come in meetings. There was this guy I saw in the 700 Club years ago who was in those meetings when Hitler would come in, clap his hands together. He said, the strong man is with us. That's what Hitler said. He knew what he was doing. Total rebellion. But there's nothing worse to Jesus than self-righteous Christians who think they're okay when they're not. And blaming others for their... No, take responsibility for all your faults. Bring it to... Now he can forgive you. Now he can wash you. Now he can cleanse you. Let your eye be single. Eyes on the word. What does it say? Or are you thinking about what the devil's saying? Or what this person says and their opinion and this voice and that voice? And there are a lot of voices in this world, but there's one voice you need to hear. And it's not the voice of a stranger. It's the voice of the good shepherd. Praise God. So you can't look one way and be thinking the other way. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. I mean, verse 24 of the Proverbs 4. Put away from you a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from you. Froward means like a distorted or crooked mouth. This includes vulgarity, cursing, things like that. Crooked, lies, deceitfulness. That's a froward mouth. Saying one thing and meaning another. You know, kind of putting on a front. And perverse lips put far from you. That's perverted. Let your eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. You know, this is kind of King James language, but here's what it means. Let your eyes look right on. That word look means to show respect. I looked up in Strong's. I'm not a genius here. But to have or show respect for. Let your eyelids look. This one means look with uprightness. Means you're not distracted with other things and people know that you're attending to them. You are. It's an uprightness about you that is projected from you. You guys getting this? Ponder. Ponder the path of your feet. You ever went, where are you going? Who is leading you? You know, everything we think, everything we do, everything we say leads to something. Everything leads to something. Everything is a seed that we do leads to something, leads to some kind of a harvest. You don't want a bad one? Ponder the path of your feet. Where are you going? Where are you heading with this? What will be the rewards or the consequences of where I'm going right now? We're getting to the point now where, yes, we live in a period of grace, but we're getting into a time now where God wants both of our ears and our inner ear. He wants both of our eyes. He wants our whole mouth. He wants our whole heart. Because we will not be able to stand in the days that are coming. We need to know the truth so that we will not be confused by all the deception that's in the world. The deception that is coming, Jesus said, if it were possible, even the very elect will be deceived. We need to pay attention to this, eat it, put our eye on it, let our eye, our inner eyes be filled with light and be formed in the truth so that we will be able to refute the lie when it comes. And then you'll be able to say what needs to be said. You don't have to prepare for that. Well, you have to prepare your heart, but you don't have to know everything in order to refute Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism or any of this other thing. You just speak with God. Buddha said, I see the light. Jesus said, I am the light. Big difference there. Huge difference. big difference. But all you got to know is, if you're following Jesus, you are following the light of the, and you will not walk in darkness. You will not walk in confusion. You will not walk in lack of what to say, what to do at any, you'll be prepared because you're walking in the light. So if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins, so we're clear. And the Father has a pure road into our mind, can direct us, reveal things to us. You know, you start coming, some Muslim comes at you and you say, 2 weeks ago you said this. You're getting a word of knowledge. Don't forget who you are inside. A word of knowledge will come to you, or a word of wisdom will come to you. And you have a weapon that is formed against them, against their deception, but you have the spirit of reconciliation pulling them in. And they won't know what to do with that because all they know is retribution, vengeance. Islam is a violent religion. They preach religious freedom, but they don't practice it because if you disagree with them, you're either going to lose your head or you're going to hang or thrown off a building if you're gay. We're coming out strong on this. You know why? We have to. We're in a position now where we have the strength that we haven't been using, and it may be confusing to the church. It may be confusing to people like us who are in these, but it's not going to be confusing once it starts coming out because confusion runs and hides when the light comes. The light drives out the darkness. Praise God. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, and remove your foot from evil. Hmm. You guys got a few extra minutes here? Let's go back to Isaiah 46 again. Remember the former things. Now, take this for a moment and remember where you were when you first got saved. And it all came to you, and you realize that Jesus is the Son of God, that he rose from the dead, and that I have received him. He's the top of the food chain. I mean, he is everything. And that God who created everything loves you. When this explodes in your heart, and you know that the power of heaven is behind you because he loves you, that he'll do anything for you. He's already proved it when he sent his son. I mean, what greater price could he have paid? There isn't one. Remember former things of old. Don't forget your first love. Do you know that after 100 years that John wrote that letter, he said, forget not your first love, or I'll take your lampstand out of... Did you know there wasn't even evidence that there was a church in Ephesus within 100 years? Serious. Remember the former things of old. Oh, that was Siri. Quiet. I'm speaking here. I will talk uninterrupted. Okay. Oh, praise God. You never know who's listening. I have to say that when Lori says some things to me, I say, hey, Siri, what did Lori just say? But, well, if you have an instrument, like, you have, Siri, what did God just say to me? Siri, what did... No, you have a better reminder, and he lives inside of you. Remember the form of, I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. You don't have to go anywhere else. You don't need anything else. He is your full supply. He is the one who's greater than everything. He is the greater one on the inside of you. He's the God who's more than enough for everything that you'll ever want, need, treasure, or anything. You have a repository. You have a treasure in your earthen vessel. And it is a bottomless treasure. It doesn't have any width. It is an unlimited repository of wealth, of power, of strength, of wisdom, of understanding, and a workable knowledge of everything that God has ever spoken into this earth lives inside of you in that treasure. He's the Holy Spirit, and he's to be honored above everything. And when he speaks to you, yes, okay, yes, with joy, I'll do that. He's done everything for you. I am God, there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, those things that are not yet done. He's saying it still, I'm saying it still. He did this work in my life. He's watching over his word that changed my life, that incorruptible seed that made me born again is working on the inside of me, reproducing after its own kind, not the human kind. It's divine nature that I am partaking of, it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, I think, or 4, that we are partakers of the divine natures, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. By the way, lust is not love. They're two different things. Lust is selfish. Love gives. Just take that for that. My counsel will stand and I will do all my pleasure. In other words, my plan in you will be established and it will continue and to continue and to continue to fulfill God's pleasure in you. That's his story, that's his side of it. If you're in a storm, it just means that you're not yet conquered. You can open your mouth and calm the storm. You can speak God's word, and it will reproduce after its own kind. Peace, love, joy, endurance, which is strength. Inner strength, it's beyond human strength to stand. Praise God. Did you get anything out of that? Eyes on the word. Eyes on the word. Because if there's anything that will produce for you, it's the word. If there's anything that will produce against you, it's the world. Words are containers, by the way. They carry the world or they carry the word. God's word. They carry sickness and disease or they carry healing and deliverance. They carry strength and power. Or they carry fear and withering. Choose your words wisely. Choose life. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. It is capable, not incapable, of producing grace And your grace is not insufficient. Your grace is sufficient. Your Spirit is alive and active in us. Your Word is a living thing, reproducing life, reproducing itself, rooted in heaven, rooted in your heart, to our heart, that the Word of God that came into this world came from your heart into my life, into our lives, into the lives of all those who want to throw away this world and come away with you. We thank you, Father. And we join our hearts with the Apostle Paul, saying that all my accomplishments I count but dung compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. We praise you, Father, for your power. We praise you, Father, for your love. We praise you, Father, for your love in that you're also power and able to do something about where we are. And you are an efficient and effective helper. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.